Hello, and welcome to Working Together with Kelly Elkins. I'm your host, Kelly Elkins, your Chief Operating Officer for Maine Health. In this new podcast series, I will be joined each episode by guests who are participating on teams focused on how we can further support and enhance how we work together across Maine Health so that we can achieve our vision of working together so our communities are the healthiest in America. In particular, we will highlight work we are doing in further development of our operating model for Maine Health and how we are creating structure and processes that make it easier for you to do your work. Today's episode is titled, What is Revenue Cycle Management? Most everyone understands that how we are paid and what we are paid for the delivery of healthcare services is extremely important to our sustainability as an organization. But do most really understand what revenue cycle management is and the continuum of services that our RCM program provides for Maine Health? In today's episode, we're going to dive into this topic and help simplify what is revenue cycle management. To join me in this conversation this morning is my guest, Paul Chosey, Vice President of Revenue Cycle Management for Maine Health. Welcome to the podcast, Paul.
Thank you for having me.
So, Paul, I think it's always important to start with the basics when we're kind of trying to simplify a topic for folks. Can you share with us what is revenue cycle management?
Sure. Revenue cycle management is typically the first and the last touch a patient has with Maine Health. We really have three major phases, the front end, the middle, and the back end. So there's roughly about 1,000 people that make up revenue cycle.
Wow.
And it starts with the biggest group, which is patient access. So that's our front end. So everything from scheduling to registration to now e-registration, electronic registration. And then they're the folks that check the insurance benefits, make sure they know what your out-of-pocket's going to be. They get you pre-authorized for the service so it gets paid for. If things don't go right there, everything else is very difficult to get paid.
Sure.
And we're a division of finance, so we think about the money. The second part is health information management that used to be the medical records librarians.
Oh, yeah.
When I started back in my day. And actually, it's a degree program. Northeastern in Boston produces some of the biggest classes of RHIAs,
so
Registered Health Information Administrators. Their job is to protect the legal medical record. So they make sure it's up to date, we have the right patients, all the right legal things are there, they follow all the rules on releasing information, and they have a group which is coding.
Oh, right.
And the coders, think of it this way, the doctors document what they did, the coders convert those words to codes,
right?
And that's how the insurance company pays us for the service. And then the third group is the CBO, the Central Business Office, and that's your typical billing, follow-up, collections, and then they fight the denials, which have become more and more difficult.
Yeah.
So much so we have three nurses and a physician sitting in our revenue cycle just to help us get paid what we should be paid.
Right.
So that's the core revenue cycle. And then I would say there's three special force kind of groups.
Okay.
One of those is process engineers. So we adopted Toyota Production Lean many years ago, and these are actually engineers, and now we've taken people with STEM backgrounds that are experts in revenue cycle and put SMEs on this team, and they really look to process innovate the work we're doing. That's the first group. The second group is revenue integrity. So these are folks that read the Federal Register. They read all the policies, and whenever anyone wants to do a new service or get, if we're not getting paid for a service, they really look into all the regulations, federal, state, and help us figure out how to bill for it. The final group is business integrity and intelligence. And really, it's kind of data scientists with a SMEAD background.
Large and complex organization.
Yes.
Yeah, which is why it takes 1,000 people to make all that happen, right?
It does. It does. And you figure the majority of them, 500-600 of them are on
the
front
end. Yeah. So more patient-facing, interacting with their patients.
Right.
But really important job. So that's an kind of an overarching, like, what is revenue cycle management? What are the components? What's the overall goal of a revenue cycle management program?
Oh, I love that question. So back 9-10 years ago when we started here and we were actually creating the central business office, we did our first Kaizen.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to stick with my one box.
Okay.
So what is our reason for existing? And that is to convert patient demographics, clinical information, and insurance information into cash within 150 days. So that's what my key goal is set on. So we look at net to cash. When you think about a bill, what we bill isn't what we are expecting to get paid.
Right.
Because we negotiate with payers. The federal government tells us what they're going to pay us. So we actually build the contracts into Epic, which is our EMR.
Mm-hmm.
And we know exactly what we're going to be paid. And we measure every account every 30 days. And at 150 days, we say, game over, we lost, and we root cause why we lost. So we root cause the biggest account per team every day, and basically we measure our net to cash. And our goal is to be at 96%, meaning we'll never be at 100% because you have the self-pay component, mm-hmm. you have clinical denials and things that you can't overturn. But that's our compass direction.
Okay. That's important, right, I think, to have for your team kind of one kind of overarching goal that everyone's working towards within all the different segments of revenue cycle that they may work in.
Correct. In all their dashboards, they huddle every morning, and they know where net to cash is at any given time and how they impact.
Oh, nice. So why is RCM important, and what are the benefits of having a strong revenue cycle management program?
I think it's as simple as saying no cash, no mission. So we can't become the healthiest state in America without having the funds to pay for our clinical folks, our buildings, mm-hmm. our technology. So having a strong revenue cycle assures that you're getting paid mm-hmm. for the services you've done. I know many revenue cycles leave 10% on the table and they bury it in contractuals and other places. And I think when you have a less than optimal revenue cycle, you're leaving money on the table.
Right. And, you know, for healthcare, it is a unique industry in that most industries, when you bill, send an invoice, charge for a service, you know, it's just expected that full payment, right, for that is received. And we're unique in healthcare, right, that one, to your point, necessarily what sometimes we charge is typically not what we actually get paid. And for a variety of reasons you just shared, but also an industry where sometimes we don't get paid at all, which does make it very unique and does create more challenges in terms of how we operate and stay sustainable, because we can't always, you know, say we're not going to deliver care unless we receive payment up front. And so that's part of our mission, but why it's important to have teams like yours to really make sure that for what we are truly owed and to help us reinvest in our teams, that we have great processes to do that.
Absolutely. We provide care regardless of your ability to pay.
Right.
And we're always looking. That's the other thing Revenue Cycle does with financial clearance is the counseling. They try to get patients on Medicaid. They look
right.
for other payment sources. They look for free drug programs. They really try to help and,
right.
you know, and protect our organization as well.
Absolutely.
To make sure we have what we need to provide
yeah,
service.
Absolutely. So I'm sure there's probably a list of challenges that are associated with the work that you and your team does every day. Can you give us some highlights of what are the challenges you face?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenges are the insurance companies. As we're trying to deliver care and take care of the patients, they're trying to reduce the cost of care as
right.
well
yeah.
for their members and everything else. So, you know, their goal is to take 2-3% every year.
Right.
And it's not from the physicians and the standalones. It's from the hospitals.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest challenge is how do we keep what we're getting? As soon as I figure out how to get paid for it, they create a policy not to pay for it. And it becomes a game. And during COVID, when we were saving lives, giving vaccines,
right.
doing everything, they were writing policies. And
yeah.
they wrote a couple hundred policies during that period of time.
Right, right.
You know.
I would guess that You probably have other challenges outside of even the payer realm, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. We have more and more legislation coming our way, yeah. price transparency, perception.
Yeah.
And obviously we're merging 9 different facilities together.
Right.
And that's a challenge too.
Right.
Working together.
Working together and being more aligned in not only how we deliver care, but what we bill for that care and
exactly.
getting more consistent as a system. But that means a lot of big lifting for your team to make all that happen in the background.
It does. And we have a really exciting challenge that we're taking on this year, and it's guaranteed estimates.
Oh, wow.
So whatever we tell a patient at the time of scheduling, that it's going to cost them out of pocket, it's not going to cost them a dime more. And it's really creating trust and transparency to our patients.
Yeah, which I'm sure will be very welcomed by our patients, but also really important that your team get that right, right?
Exactly.
So that we do make sure that that bill is accurate and perhaps that we don't understate and perhaps miss covering, you know, the cost of care, but also that we don't overstate and have someone pay their out of pocket or have their, you know, if they're insured, have their insurance paying more than the service they actually received. So it's really critical work that your team's going to be doing in this space to make sure that that guarantee is really accurate to really build that trust with
Absolutely.
Our patients.
Yeah. We're looking to be 95% within 5% plus or minus.
Wow.
Because I think the bigger fear of mine is if we overestimate, because it might be easy just to put a 10% on it, right? But then patients are going to say, I can get cheaper elsewhere.
Right.
And we might lose market share. So
right. And one of our goals as a health system, it's in our 5-year strategic plan, right, mm-hmm. is to lower the cost of care. And so we definitely don't want to be inaccurately inflating that cost for our patients and our communities. Obviously, that sounds like a huge goal and priority for your team for this fiscal year. Any other goals that your team has that's unique to MaineHealth?
We do. We have about $28.8 million that we're going to try to capture from a pretty lean process right now.
Yeah.
Not budget reductions, but how do we look at things such as CDI, clinical documentation improvement? And I believe there's an opportunity of almost $12 million to get us paid for what we did and document appropriately.
Yeah.
So we're working with a company on the outside called Acuity. They have physicians, nurses, and coders that will be overcoding and looking at our records and querying physicians post-service on inpatients. And we're trending towards picking up $12 million there.
Great.
The digital experience self-service.
Yeah.
Trying to collect a little bit more in-house before it goes out of house. We think that's worth about $6 million. Reducing physician denials.
Mm-hmm.
$5.5 million.
Yeah.
And then inpatient clinicals. We hired one of the UR physicians. He is now on the revenue cycle side, and his mission is how do we keep more of our inpatients and classify them as inpatients because they meet criteria,
right?
Opposed to billing for an observation that we get paid less and it costs the patient more, actually.
Right. One, I mean, I think that obviously is a very important goal for the system, right? We know that through the pandemic, like most large health systems and even small health systems, we know that our cost and inflation to provide care and maintain our workforce really have skyrocketed. And to your point, our payment rates necessarily haven't always matched that. And so getting back to a really strong, stable financial place for our organization, going after and finding ways to look at how we can through these programs, like you just mentioned, to realize more of that revenue to help cover some of those much needed expenses we have, but help offset that cost is really critical to our success.
Absolutely. And I wish I could find more. I'm looking every day.
Well, I'm sure we will. And I think to your point, that's part of also being a learning health system and the fact that on your team, you have process engineers. It's that perspective of you're always looking for opportunities, trying new things, and seeing how we can further maximize, which is a great story and really what being a learning health system is all about.
Absolutely.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the Working Together with Kelly Elkins podcast. I appreciate you bringing more insight and awareness into the depth and breadth of the important work that RCM does for our organization. I also hope that it helps our members of the care team who are delivering care to have a better sense of the work that happens on those interactions with patients before they get to them, after they leave them, and that great work that everyone's doing as a team, but may not always realize what's happening in the background. So hopefully it connects and helps folks have a greater awareness and appreciation for what your team does.
Thank you so much.
Well, I hope that you found this episode informative and provides a deeper insight into one of our major areas of focus as we continue to enhance how we work together as MaineHealth to achieve our vision of working together so that our communities are the healthiest in America. If you have ideas for topics for future podcasts, please email those to workingtogether@mainehealth.org. Thank you and have a blessed day.